Welcome to the Message Podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in beautiful Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Reverend Linda Asoff. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
So what I want to talk to you about today, I've entitled this message, "The King is in the House." How many of you were here a few weeks ago and that's the word the Lord gave me? The King is in the house. Amen. And I want to talk to you about the reality of that. There's going to be a lot of scripture because how many of you know faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God? But listen, take the word of God, bring it to the Spirit of God and say, show me truth, right? And so that's part of what I'm realizing I need to have more of in my life is to actually meditate upon the word of God until it becomes a reality. In my mind renewed to truth, and then in the way that I walk out this Christian walk. And so it's like, I was thinking about that this morning, it's like, that's the really the bread we need to chew on every day. Kind of like a cow. I'm looking at Lucy and her farm work and thinking, we need to be like those cows that chew the cud, right? We get that nugget and we just chew on it and we chew on it and we chew on it. And the nugget is the word of God revealed by the Spirit of God. And that combination of the word and the experience of encountering Holy Spirit brings transformation and freedom. So, the king is in the house. How many of you know, and you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you know that we no longer live under the old covenant of the Mosaic law, but we live in a new covenant? All right? So, this is part of my testimony. In the past, and probably some of you have heard this, as a believer, I was a believer. I believed in Jesus. However, there were some strongholds in my mind because I lived out of the place of believing a lie that there was separation, distance, and lack in my relationship with Christ. And I'm going to explain what I meant. I really lived in the realm of mixture. And it's very easy to fall into mixture. The old covenant is gone. The new covenant is here. It is a whole new covenant with a whole new reality, and it's out of the revelation of that new covenant that we can begin to step into being who God always created us to be, sons of God. When I say sons, I say it intentionally to all you women, that we are sons because we are called to carry the Spirit of Christ in the authority of Christ to the world around us. We have inherited Christ and all that he is, all that he has. But in the past, I lived in that realm of mixture. For example, I was thinking of a song, and we still sometimes sing it, and it's from the Psalms. It's from the Bible. The Bible's true, right, Pastor Janet? But the psalmist says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," and I don't remember all the words, "but take not thy Holy Spirit from me." That's what I believed. That if I didn't measure up to God's standard, God would take his Holy Spirit from me. Today we're going to learn that God doesn't take his Holy Spirit from us. So that we can say we need to transition into the reality of Christ in us. The King is in the house. Because I didn't believe that truth or know that truth, it wasn't like I was presented with it and I rejected it. It was I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. But God is good, and I have heard it. And so, but in that place, I had no peace, no security in my relationship with God, because every time I failed, every time I sinned, I didn't know how many days of repenting it would take for God to not be angry with me anymore. Right? Was it 2 days, 3 days? How many tears did I have to cry? How many times did I have to tell him I was sorry? How much did I have to beat myself up? None, really, but I didn't know it. So much of my relationship was founded on my own works and therefore my failures. I believed and thought like an orphan instead of a son of God. And consequently, I behaved like an orphan. Now, that's a whole other story, but the truth that I hope and pray that we get into our spirit, not into our spirit, it's already there, into our soul, into our mind, into our hearts, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The King is in the house. So over the course of time, through study, prayer, and encounter, the Holy Spirit has given me some understanding of the truth of the new covenant. And I say some, because I'm still walking and working out my salvation and my understanding. But that salvation, that truth is that I am not saved by my works. Okay, we know that. Accept that, do we? Like I've heard these things in church for years and years and years, but did I really believe it? Or when those little niggling thoughts came into my mind, like, look what you just did. Are you sure you're saved? Did I believe those thoughts and those voices of the enemy, or did I go back to, no, I am, because I'm saved by grace. And God's not going to turn away from me when I fail. He's a father. Like parents, how many of you are parents and you know when your children fail, it may break your heart, but you don't turn away from them, right? Even if your relationship isn't close, you carry them in your heart, you pray for them, and whenever possible, you try to help them, right? So this is the way that God relates to us. So the truth of the new covenant is I'm saved by God's grace, not my efforts. I'm adopted into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work, not mine, on the cross and validated by his resurrection. I'm forgiven, I'm pure, I'm holy in the essence of who I am because my new spirit and Holy Spirit are one, now one, inseparable. I am righteous because Christ has given me his righteousness, right standing and being with and in God. Holy Spirit never leaves me, and God will not forsake me. And I love the music. It went so along with the message. Thank you, worship team and Holy Spirit. So, again, when I heard those words, the King is in the house, I knew it wasn't about the building. Right? Because we are the building of God. We are living stones. So where does the King live? Thank you. The King is in your house. He lives in each one of us who have believed in Jesus for our forgiveness, for our righteousness, for eternal life, and for restoring our relationship with God. The King is in the house, is our reality forever. You know, I was listening to the song, Even When We Don't See It, You're Working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in my darkness. You know what? How many of us thought about those words and thought, that King lives inside me. He wants to make a way through me. He wants to perform miracles through me. He wants to reveal the truth of his promises through me. Because he lives inside of me. The King is in the house. So listen, as you hear these words, don't just intellectualize them. Ask Holy Spirit for that revelation personally. Listen for God's voice to you because he wants us all to begin to stand in the power of his might, not ours. Not by might, not by power. By my spirit, says the Lord. So the King is in the house is our spiritual reality. We don't have to beg him to come. We don't have to say the right words or do the right things for him to show up. We don't even have to sing the right songs. The King is in the house. Where you go, he goes. Now, we understand and we know that there are I'd like to say manifestations of his presence where we actually experience him in a more tangible way. But we need to learn to live in the reality that no matter what, no matter where I am or what I'm doing, the King is in the house. Jesus. All right. And so I'm going to read you a lot of scriptures. I'm going to try to do this fairly quickly and not preach them, but just read them. But I want you to just try to receive what the Word is saying, what the Holy Spirit is showing you through them. So as Jesus prepared his disciples for his impending death and eventual departure, this was his promise. John 14, 16 through 18. This is the New Living Translation. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. This is the promise of Jesus, right? And he said the Holy Spirit, under the old covenant, under the Mosaic law, the Holy Spirit was with. And he would come upon. But in the new covenant, where is he? Where? In us. In us. So to receive the Holy Spirit is to become a child of God and be born again. In John chapter 3, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus said, "You're absolutely right." And this is the Message translation. "Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." "How can anyone," said Nicodemus, "be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's room and be born again." "What are you saying with this born from above talk?" Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation," I love this, "the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom." When you look at a baby, it's just that. A body you can touch, can look at and touch. "But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above by the wind of God, the Spirit of God." And we know the story from Acts 2, and the disciples were told to wait for what? The promise of the Spirit. And on that day, the Holy Spirit was poured into those who were waiting. They were filled with the Spirit. Amazing. So, I love the Passion Translation. It says they were all filled, and get this, equipped with the Holy Spirit, and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. So one of the things that I know the Lord is working in my life is to be aware of the language of lack. Whether when it comes to us and what God calls us to join him in doing, we don't lack anything. Why? The King is in the house, right? He's equipped us. He's equipped us for everything he calls us to. He wants to be through us. In Romans 8:9, it says this, "But you are not living the life of the flesh, you are living the life of the Spirit, if the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you." This is the Amplified, "directs and controls you. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ. He is not truly a child of God." So, who has the Spirit? Everyone who has received Christ. So no lack, right? We all, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we're not born again. Right? Because we're born by the Spirit who comes to live inside of us. Again, we know there are times when the Holy Spirit manifests himself through us, but we don't function from lack. We function from God has given us everything we need because he's given us himself. He's come to live inside of us. The King is in the house. Now, when I look at Pastor Janet, I go, wow, she hears from God. And I want to encourage you because I can almost hear you saying, well, maybe he does, but it doesn't seem to make much difference in my life. And I just want to say this. This is part of relationship. The foundation is the King is in the house. The process is getting to know who he is, what he likes, how he functions, listening for his voice, being aware of what he's saying and what he's doing. That is a lifetime endeavor of getting to know God. But it starts with the King is in the house. I don't have to start, oh, please come, God, please come, please come. No, he's here. He's here. He's in you. He's in you. So how do we know we have the Holy Spirit? By faith. That was even spoken of today. Jesus promised, to all who believe, God gives power to become his sons. We are born again by the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who convinces us that we are now children of God. In Romans 8, 15 and 16, and I do the Passion Translation a lot because it just, for me, it brings out foundational truths, but it also has that whole love factor that we're loved by God, we're cherished by God. I like it. So I know there's some questions about it, but I always read other translations too, but this just helps to bring out the relational aspect of our walk with God. So in Romans 8, 15 through 16, it says, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. Boy, that was me years ago. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. You will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. There's a word you can meditate on. I am God's beloved child. Not based on behavior, I am his child and he loves me. Holy Spirit confirms his presence in us in various ways. We know he produces the fruit of his presence, and I'm not going to list all those. He transforms us from the inside out by giving us new hearts with new desires that align with God's will. He speaks to us, teaches us so that we grow in our understanding and knowledge of God through encounters with him and his word. God's word. Gifts, signs, and wonders begin to operate through our lives by his power as we walk by faith. So, again, I can say of my own life, I can say, well, how come I'm not seeing that all the time? Because I'm still walking and learning and working out this whole revelation in my own heart. But I want to assure you that I would never have gotten through the past couple of years or the rest of my life either. But especially the past couple of years since Paul's death, without that revelation, Jesus is with me. He loves me. I don't understand, but the King is in the house. He's not going to leave me alone. He's here. I can hear from him. He's with me. He's for me. He's in me. He wants to flow through me. So this is a wonderful mystery, God says. This mystery of our union with God himself. Like, soak that for a minute. Just think about that. Even as you look at creation, think about, wow, the God who made all of that lives inside of me and you and you and you. Well, that's a whoa. Like, you don't have to feel anything else except, wow. Wow. So God has come into us by his Spirit. He has made us into a new creation in Christ. And now we are joined in union with the Holy Spirit forever. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. There is a divine mystery, a secret surprise that has been concealed from the world for generations, but now it's being revealed, unfolded, and manifested for every holy believer to experience. Living within you is the Christ who floods you with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us becomes a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. And God wants everyone to know it. I just want to camp out there. Living within you, put your name in there, living within me is the Christ who floods me with the expectation of glory. This mystery of Christ embedded within us is a heavenly treasure chest of hope filled with the riches of glory for his people. I was thinking about that upstairs. There's a scripture that says, and I'm not pulling where it is right now, but it's we're written epistles. We're written epistles. Why are we written epistles? An epistle is a letter, and we're written by the Spirit who lives where? In us. So if you ever have somebody come up to you, and I've had this happen to me, and they go, I really like your energy. I'm like, what? But guess what? They sensed the Spirit of Christ within me, and that was the only language they had to describe what they were experiencing. And so they liked my energy, and I'm like, well, that's Jesus. I said that to them, that's Jesus. I like my energy too. It's Jesus. So the other thing I used to believe was, when, as I said, when I sinned, then kind of the Holy Spirit would go off to his corner and I'd go off to my corner and we'd try to work it out, right? Wrong. So one of the scriptures that really struck me is in 1 Corinthians 6, 15. And I'm sorry, I forgot to write down which translation I took this from. But if we get this revelation that Christ is in us, he's not coming and going, he's not leaving based on our behavior, he is just there with us, in us, right? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, don't you know that your bodies belong to Christ as his body parts? Should one presume to take, and I'm sorry, preface this with, he's talking to the Corinthians, and we know the Corinthians, how many of you know they had a lot of issues? Any of you got a lot of issues? Anyway, they had a lot of issues, and Paul was writing to kind of bring some correction to some of their issues, one of which was sexual sin. Now, we have to understand that back in those days, part of the worship of the world, I don't think anything's really changed, was sexual activity with prostitutes. And so they were being tempted, and who knows, they may have fallen into that. And so Paul is saying, don't you know your bodies belong to Christ? Should one presume to take the members of Christ's body and make them into members of a harlot? Absolutely not. The one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit with him. This is why you must keep running away from sexual immorality. Have you forgotten that your body is now the sacred temple of the Spirit of holiness who lives in you? You don't belong to yourself any longer, for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside your sanctuary. What does that mean? I think about the temple and I think, you know what this means? Kathy, you're the Holy of Holies. God lives in you. Right? The Holy of Holies. Why are we holy? Because he's holy. And where does he live? In us. Doesn't mean we're always holy in our behavior. But it does mean that in essence that we are holy. We are set apart for God. We are righteous. We are pure. We are blameless. Ephesians 1, I love that too. Woo. Anyway. So, yes, we can and do grieve the Holy Spirit in many ways, including sexual sin. But listen, he's not leaving. He's committed to us. Nothing separates us from Christ. We need to remember that our sin has already been atoned for. Jesus did it. We are forgiven. Not because we said the right words, prayed the right prayers, cried enough tears, but because we believed and received what Jesus had already done for us on the cross. It was his shed blood. We sang about the blood this morning. It was his shed blood that atoned for or took the penalty of our sin. And we have been forgiven by God, even to the point it says in 2 Corinthians 5, he doesn't even remember our sins anymore. He's not counting them. It's not like he doesn't see them and he doesn't know they're there, but he's not keeping that. Oh, and this was one I used to believe. When I get to heaven, it's not going to be much fun because God's got his list. Linda, remember that day? Oh, God, I'm so sorry. God says he's not remembering our sins anymore. Your sins and your lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Why? They were put into Jesus. That old person is dead. Dead. I'm a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit has come to live inside me. I am one spirit with him. I'm forgiven because of what Jesus did. I'm a child of the King, and the King is in the house. So when we do fall into sin, and how many people know we do, because we still haven't come to that place of perfection in our walk, when we fall into sin, we simply need to remember the truth. Jesus took care of it. His blood is enough. His blood cleanses us. That sin no longer has power over us. Why? We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We're not trying to do this by ourselves. And I used to try to do it all by myself. And I got pretty tired. But when we lean into Jesus and recognize he did it all, and now I just need to receive, believe and receive. I'm forgiven. I'm cleansed. I'm holy. Because of Jesus. Oh, give us a revelation of Jesus, Lord. So, our sin has been atoned for. We are forgiven. Nothing separates us from Christ. Yes, God will correct us. Yes, he will train us. Yes, he will show us the fullness of who we are in Christ. But no, he's not holding our sin against us. He doesn't approve of it, and it grieves him because we then give the enemy an open door, but he doesn't leave. He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't say, you better figure this out or we can't be friends anymore. No. He's the father who loves his kids. He has a plan for each one of us, and he is working in us as we yield to him, as we give him our yes. Holy Spirit within us gives us the grace and power to say no to ungodliness and yes to righteousness. God isn't looking for us to beat ourselves up. He's looking for us to believe. To believe him, to believe his word, to believe that in this new covenant, sin has been taken care of and we can walk in victory over it as we trust the Christ within us, Holy Spirit. So, God invites us into this intimate fellowship with the one who lives inside of us so that he can teach, correct, transform, give us revelation, wisdom, and understanding, and friendship. And not just when we're doing good, but especially when we're weak. Right? Which I didn't get. But I do now. His power is made perfect in our weakness because the King is in the house. Hebrews 13:5 says this in the Amplified, be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. But this is the part I want you to focus on. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. I will not. King is in the house, Phyllis. Hebrews 13:5 in the Passion says, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. But this is the part I want to focus on. For you always have God's presence. We want to transition to that reality every day. We always have God's presence. The King is in the house. This is an indissoluble, oh, I love that word, but I can't say it. Anyway, unable to be destroyed union with God. We have everything we need to live a victorious life because we have God. We have Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Father. Well, really, it's, anyway, let's not get too deep here. But if, you know, we talk about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's no separation, right? They are one, and we have been invited into that oneness, that unity, by the Spirit who lives within us. We need to pray for eyes to see ourselves the way God sees us, right? Not according to flesh and blood, not according to our ability, but according to Christ in us and who we are as sons of God. Ephesians 1:3. Oh, good. I am going to read Ephesians. That's great. I love it. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already, what is all, has already? Past, present, future. Past tense. Has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Wow. Wow. He chose you before he even laid the foundation of the universe? Woo. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us. Okay, stop right there. Close your eyes. So his tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. Wow. I don't know, my spirit's excited. And this unfolding plan brings God great pleasure. Since we are so joined to Christ, we have been given the treasures of redemption by his blood, the total cancellation of our sins, all because of the cascading riches of his grace. This superabundant grace is already powerfully working in us, releasing all forms of wisdom and practical understanding. We are intimately united with Jesus Christ and our Father through the indwelling Holy Spirit. We're not orphans. We are loved by Papa God just as he loves Jesus. We have access to all we need because Christ himself lives in us. 2 Peter again says in chapter 1, starting in verse 3, everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. For this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing him who has called us by name and invited us to come to him through a glorious manifestation of his goodness. As a result of this, he has given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, we can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in Jesus. And as his yes and our amen ascend to God, we bring him glory. Now it is God himself who has anointed us, and he is constantly strengthening both you and us in union with Christ. He knows we are his, since he has also stamped his seal of love over our heart and has given us the Holy Spirit like an engagement ring is given to a bride, a down payment of the blessings to come. The King is in the house. Everything we need, he is. Everything he is, we are in him. We're not God, but God lives in us, and we are sons of God. 1 John 4:17 says, "By living in God, love has been brought to its full expression so that we may fearlessly face the day of judgment, because all that Jesus now is, so are we in this world." I heard a gentleman speak this week, and he said this: "The church needs to break off limitations. As we learn to live in the abiding presence of God, it attracts the visitational presence of God." Do you understand what I mean? Because I've been saying, okay, where's the King live? In the house. And so, you know what I see when we come together as the church? I go back to that simple little song about the, you know, thinking about the logs in the fire. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. So we each come with our own little spark, right? And as we begin to focus our attention on God in worship, in prayer, and meditation upon the Word, the Holy Spirit begins to manifest his presence, and we actually experience, how many of you actually experience the presence of God? Like in a, what's the word I want to use? I can't think of it. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. It's not that we can't experience his presence at home. We do. But there's like a heightened expression of God through the body as we come together, right? Because why? The King is in the house. Each one of us, and corporately, pow! Right? That's why God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So break off the limitations. Choose to believe that Christ lives in you, and he will never leave you, never leave us. And as we do that, the manifest presence, the manifestation of God's presence in us and through us flows. This is the place of seeing God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Holy Spirit moving in and through us in signs, wonders, miracles, gifts, and fruit as part of our everyday life. Again, the gentleman, his name was Simon Breaker. I don't know much about him, but he said, "If you believe something that is false, that belief system becomes a prison rather than a launching pad. When I look at my past life, I see where the lies I believed were a prison that I put myself in. God's plan all along was to free me through teaching me the truth so that I can launch out into the adventure of my union with him in the power of his Spirit, not looking at my limitations, but looking at his limitless power that's living in me." Acts 17:28 says this: "In him, Jesus, we live and move and have our being." What does it look like to live and move and have your being in Christ? No separation, no distance, no lack. The Lord brought to mind Paul and Silas. You remember the story of Paul and Silas? They were in Philippi. They were preaching, of course, preaching about Jesus. And they stirred up some demonic activity and ended up getting beaten and thrown into jail. And actually, it says that they were locked into the inner prison. So they're beaten. They're thrown into jail. And I know what my response would have been. Woe is me. My back hurts. God, where are you? Why'd you let this happen? But their response wasn't that. What was their response? It says around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. So I said to myself, What motivated Paul and Silas to do this? Right? Because that's victorious living. Right? That's like being a son of God and living in that reality. So I believe that they were motivated by their awareness of Christ in them, with them, for them. They knew God's love. They knew his promises. They knew his presence through experience and his power. They had a history with him, right? So if you're going through something, I just want to encourage you, you're building a history with God. So for the next time, you'll have a better foundation to move forward on. But Paul and Silas had faith. God was faithful. Didn't he say he'd never leave them nor forsake them? And so their faith in God's abiding presence within them led them to a visitation that was experienced by all the prisoners. They were all set free, right? And not only that, my first impulse would have been, I'm free, run! Get out of here as quick as you can. But not Paul and Silas. Why? They were attuned to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit didn't say run. Holy Spirit said stay. And they stayed. And we know the miracle. The jailer came and took them into his home, and he and his whole household were saved. Why? Because they knew Christ in them. The king is in the house. He's here. No matter what I'm going through, he's here with me right now. He hasn't left me. He hasn't forsaken me. He's here. I can worship him in the midst of the storm because he's here. He's here. It wasn't pray and worship to get him to come. It was pray and worship because he's here. And he's allowed me. I'm sure in Paul's mind it was, God has allowed me to suffer with him. Right? Again, God's got to work on that part in my heart because I don't really like suffering. But none of us do. But as we learn to live out of that reality of Christ in us and that relationship where we're constantly saying, what are you doing? What are you saying? Where are you going, Father? How can I join you? By the Spirit. So the other scripture that God, oh, I'm getting late. I'll finish this up. The other scripture that God brought to my mind as I was thinking about Paul and Silas, because how many of you know there was no New Testament? So they read the Old Testament, right? They read the Psalms. They knew them. And the one that the Lord brought to mind was Psalm 33, which is a very familiar psalm. Starting in verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Okay. Oh, it's a motorcycle. All right. So what I want to say is when we come to God in with a religious mindset, which was how I used to do it, it's always about us. Like, oh, God said I got to trust him. I got to trust. I got to commit. I got to delight. I got to rest. I got to wait. Oh, man, I got to. But I want to put forth this, that we're in a relationship with God. And that God is the initiator. So that everything we do is birthed out of that relationship with him and what he is doing or has done. So this is what I want to say to you. We respond to God's initiative. Trust in the Lord. Our trust in the Lord is based upon his works, his ways, his character, his nature. We've seen his love for us and his goodness towards us. We've seen what Jesus went through to get us back, right? His life, his death, his resurrection and ascension as he fulfilled covenant promises and many prophetic words. We know God loved us when we were sinners, and he loves us still when we sin, right? And Brian Simmons said this, that this trust is rooted in an understanding that God's love doesn't hinge on our performance, but remains an unchanging force. So this trust is rooted in the reality the king is in the house. He's not going anywhere. He loves us. He is with us. He is in us. He is for us. And he will flow through us as we yield to him. Feed on his faithfulness. This has really become reality. Not even great English. But anyway, feeding on God's faithfulness means it's not me trying to be faithful to God. It's me living in the reality that he is always faithful to me, and therefore I can be faithful to him because the king is in the house. Jesus was always faithful to his Father. The Spirit one of the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness, I believe. You know, I think it's, how does it say? Anyway, we're not going to go there. Sorry, getting sidetracked. But anyway, I believe that the Holy Spirit works in us as we see and experience and understand and encounter God in us, we're able to respond with trust, with feeding on his faithfulness, delighting ourselves in the Lord. For the Lord your God delights over you with gladness in Zephaniah 3:17. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. So I think what I'm trying to say is I used to live from a place of I have to produce. Now I live from the place of the king is in the house. He's producing the fruit of the Spirit within my life as I trust him and yield and look to him. And he's revealing the love of the Father. And we love him because he first loved us. He is revealing the faithfulness of God as we look back over our lives and we see how he has been faithful to us. He reveals that faithfulness and it inspires and motivates and builds within us a desire to be faithful to him. He delights over us, and so we delight over him because it's this mutual love relationship. Commit your way to the Lord. This was one, as I was thinking about this, I encountered the Lord the other day, his commitment to us. How committed is he to us? Wow. Jesus dedicated himself to his Father and to us fully and completely. He became one of us and died in our place to redeem us from the penalty, power, and curse of sin and death. He refused to quit or give up when it got difficult. In Isaiah 56:7, it says, I offered my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery and spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone, determined to do his will, and I know I will not be put to shame. This is speaking of Jesus. It is his commitment that will result in the establishment of his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Isaiah 9:7, his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. We commit ourselves to Jesus because he committed himself to us. So we're responding to his initiative. Rest in the Lord. God has finished his work and he's invited us into that rest. Hebrews 4. So we can conclude that there is still a full and complete Sabbath rest waiting for believers to experience. Just as God finished his work and entered his rest. And again, resting is not ceasing from doing, but doing from a place of knowing it's finished, the victory won, and it is Christ in us who empowers us to do. And so we do with him. And God says in Hebrews 4:11, we must be eager to experience this faith rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. So in conclusion, we rest as we trust and yield to the abiding presence of Holy Spirit in us to do the works through us. We cease from trying to produce for God and instead rest in walking in the Spirit and working with him as he produces works in and through us. It's a co-laboring. It's, again, not in activity. It's what are you doing? What are you saying? Where are you going, God? Oh, you want me to do that? Oh, I can do that. Because the king is in the house. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Rest is not a place or attitude of inactivity, again, but of Holy Spirit-inspired and empowered works, us co-laboring with Christ in us. So where is God? In the house. And you are the house, right? Because Jesus, our King, lives in us, anything is possible as he lives through us. So the challenge will be, do you believe it? And it's a day by day, moment by moment, walking this out because the enemy will challenge us. Do we believe it? Right? Are we looking at Christ within ourselves and our human limitations, or Christ's all-encompassing power and grace and ability, right? So it's going to be a challenge, but it's okay because the King is in the house. And as long as we keep looking to him, he's going to keep changing us, transforming us, leading us, guiding us, giving us revelation as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And I believe that as we get, I was thinking about, you know, the world is crazy, obviously. We know there's a lot going on in the world. How do we stand in the midst of the challenges we're facing in the world? The foundation has to be Christ in you. Christ in me. We're not orphaned. We're not powerless. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And he just wants us to learn to dance with him, right? To trust him, to look to him, to continue to get to know him, listening for his voice and following his lead. Amen. The King is in the house.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. Feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others.